Hey guys, we are back on with the BOA podcast out of Westminster, Colorado. I'm here in the Fusebox Samba One and BOA Training Center, located directly in Westminster, Colorado, off of Wadsworth and 100th Boulevard. You can find us at fusebox.com. And today, I want to get on the topic of health or money. Why train? Why not take the path of least resistance? Why not do what just feels really good? And this is something that kind of gets under my skin as a coach and as a trainer and as somebody who is trying to dedicate his life to the betterment of other people in any way that I can see possible for me to be able to do with the skills that I was born with or have developed. So those of you that know that I've developed a couple of different training programs. One of them is the Fusebox training program, which is basically a stylistic way of looking at the martial arts. It's just a more modernized version of the martial arts. Now, I ran that system for about 20 years with some pretty good success in mixed martial arts and grappling and ensemble. So what I wanted to do next was kind of an accidental development. I wanted to further create an amazing program inside of the Fusebox martial arts system, which is like saying Fusebox is like saying karate or judo or jiu-jitsu. It's just like saying a style. Fusebox meaning mixed styles. I wanted to create a training mechanism that was more trackable, and that training mechanism originally started out is being called the MMA Warrior Challenge, which was a pretty aggressive way of saying something, and it created some fear. People didn't like it. So as the years went by and the development of the system of Fusebox's tracking system of martial arts training kept developing, the name Body of Armor came to be kind of the calling card of that particular training methodology. So BOA, our body of armor, is the methodology that this podcast is about, but we're still located within a Fusebox system, and Fusebox being almost entirely based upon self-defense and fighting, BOA is more concerned with self-defense and fighting to a point, but in the getting good at the training versus getting good at the fighting, if that makes sense. So there's a lot of stuff that we have to learn to do in BOA. Your power cleans, your deadlifts, your squats, your jump squats, stone lifts, log lifts. You've got individual motions on the ground that we'll take note of and audit. Can you do a sit out? Can you stand up properly? How many kicks can you get on the bag in 2 minutes, and 3 minutes, and 5 minutes? Things like this. It's a breakdown of drilling techniques and of weightlifting and training techniques in such a way that it plays out in three different ways. It plays out, and we're doing, just so you know, because this is going to sound a little mixy in the beginning, Fusebox is phasing out and turning entirely into BOA, which is the newer version of martial arts. And for those of you that are in on the ground level of this, you're seeing that BOA is the evolution of Fusebox and what it has turned into as far as a training methodology and a style of martial art. So when we're looking at BOA, it helps me break it down for people that we're looking at BOA fit. We're looking at the fitness end of it. People are coming in wanting to get in shape. I want to be able to work with those people and give them a legitimate experience and some great results if they'll allow it. But people tend to quit. Number one reason they tend to quit? Money. Number two reason? Time. We have BOA Fit. We have BOA Sport. Now, these are the people that don't want to fight, but they want to compete in something, and so they compete in BOA itself as a sport. It's a pretty cool sport. It's really amazing, and it is no easier than fighting at all. So I don't want people thinking it's a less extreme version of fighting. It isn't. It's a different one entirely. And then there's BOA Fight, where we're taking our athletes and we're getting them into the cage and we're getting them into the ring and we're preparing them. So let's get back to why people are quitting, why people are joining. So I get a lot of people coming in and they're saying, hey, I want to compete. Hey, I want to be a world champion. Hey, I want to get in shape. Man, I just don't want to be fat anymore. I don't want to be lazy. I feel like I can't hold myself accountable. And not only 99% of the time can they not hold themselves accountable, they won't let me hold them accountable either. They won't let anybody hold them accountable. And they keep going back to the same life they came from over and over again. And so today, we're kind of addressing that topic. The Dalai Lama has a quote, and I love this quote because it's so true. He says, man sacrifices health to make money, and then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And I've watched people do this over my 51 years, over and over again, just say, no, working out is not a priority. That's what children do. Children get in shape. Adults get unhealthy. Adults get hurt. Adults have medical problems. Adults go to the hospital. Adults go to the doctor. But adults don't do preventative maintenance. Adults don't extend their lifestyle. But adults drink. Adults do drugs. Adults neglect themselves physically. These are really challenging prospects when you're talking about owning a gym, guys. It's really frustrating for me. I'm trying to make a living at doing this. I'm trying to make a living at teaching adults to not act like undisciplined children. That's hard. So if you're looking at developing a BOA program of your own, and you're one of the prospects that's hoping to own a BOA school here within the next couple of years, these are some of the topics that we have to go over in the certification process to become a legitimate BOA instructor. We have to be able to deal with the rejection. People will reject their health and die in order to avoid doing what they're not comfortable with. Protracted suicide. They'll just live a life that'll kill them. So, the battle of distraction in training, this is what we're talking about today. And if this touches you in any level, reach out. Let me know. I want to hear about it. These are the things that I think that they come from. There could be more, but these are the ones that I thought were notable enough to put onto the podcast today. Not having clear goals. This one is really important. Somebody will come in and let's say that they're in their mid-30s, mid-40s, and I'll ask them to do squats. Everybody else is doing as many squats as they can do in a two-minute period. And so a guy will come in and he'll blast out as many squats as he can. And I'm like, you know, you did 32 squats in a two-minute period, but I just got done asking you not to do more than seven because we have to make sure that you're not going to be so sore that you quit tomorrow. People that drive themselves egotistically into a hole. And see, if they don't have a clear goal walking into the facility or into the BOA school, what ends up happening is they tend to make themselves, for example, in this case, they'll make themselves incredibly sore, and then they don't have a clear goal to go to, and it doesn't make any sense to make themselves sore because they can always now lean on the excuse of time or money. The two things that we have the abundance of for the first time in human history, time and money, now all of a sudden have become a shortage in this individual's life. But time, man, we have time machines today. They're called cars, and they get you places really fast. It wasn't very long ago you had to ride a horse or even walk if you couldn't afford a stable. So back then they didn't have time. They didn't have time to go into town. Because it took 5 hours. Today, it takes 15 minutes. Time is relative. If you're coming up with excuses about time, my suggestion is that you break down what it is that you're struggling with in time and come up with a better resolution on how to manage it in order to accomplish very clearly defined goals that are going to be emotionally rewarding. And money isn't one of them all by itself. You can die clenching dollars and they mean nothing. You don't want the money, man. You want what the money brings to you. So if you're living for the chase of money and for no other reason, just money, but maybe it buys you drugs or cigarettes or alcohol. You can see how that's destructive. Money's being destructive in your life instead of constructive. So if you're going to sacrifice your health in order to make money, it has to be a constructive development. It should do somebody some good because you're going to die developing it. Nobody gets away with this life. Nobody lives forever. So if you're going to sacrifice your training for money or time, make sure it's for constructive things. I understand there are reasons out there, but you have to understand from my perspective as a coach over the last 20-something years, most of the reasons are not constructive. And when I see these people 5, 10, 15 years down the road, 99% of them look like complete shit. And almost none of them have accomplished anything other than waking up and driving in a fucking car to work and then going to work in that building all day until they go home to their preliminary coffins and wait until they deteriorate to a complete level and where their body finally gives out and they die. And I'm old enough to have watched people do this. They accomplish nothing in their life other than just eating and pooping. So I want to make sure that there is a conclusion that of positive nature on the reason that BOA athletes do things, not just a reaction to avoid. There's a saying out there that people move away from pain and towards pleasure. I agree with that, but I think it could probably be updated in today's age. I think they're moving away from pain and towards nothing in particular, just away from pain. So if you don't describe what pleasure is to you, if pleasure isn't healthy eating, if pleasure isn't making sure that you're drinking enough water instead of soda, then you're going to move away from that. You have to redefine these things in your mind and change your personal preferences in order to find success. I'm just not into it anymore. Isn't a good reason. It isn't a good reason, man. You have one life. Now, other than that, we have not having a consistent culture for success. So if you're married to a chain-smoking ape, what do you think's going to happen? You're going to start chain-smoking yourself. Chances are. You're going to start doing what it takes to get along with this person because you'll start picking up subliminal characteristics of these people that are around you. You'll start making the same noises they do, the same facial expressions, the same oddities. And if you're not careful, you pick up the ones that actually make life harder versus easier. So, another one, nutrition issues. People run nutrition issues. They're either impossible to keep up with oftentimes, like I'm a vegan. Well, that's hard because it's super unnatural. And in my opinion, I'm not a dietary expert, but in my humble opinion, if you went into the mountains for 3 weeks with a goat, the goat would never eat you, but you would eat the goat. We are not naturally vegans, so I appreciate, I guess, the intent of vegetarianism and veganism. I don't like slaughter either. I'm looking for alternative ways to get protein without joining a religion or a cult of veganism or vegetarianism. Now, the other option of that is diet being too tight. The diet is too loose. It's too crazy. They just eat whatever they want. They're emotional eaters. They eat just willy-nilly as far as time schedules go. These things are significant issues as far as the development of proper muscle tone and longevity inside of the cellular structure that is your body. So we go from there, we're going to go to an endless amount of excuses for the path of known accomplishment. And let me go over what the path of known accomplishment is. The path of known accomplishment is doing over and over the same thing that you've always done because it's comfort. It's comfort zone for you. I have a defined example of what the path of known accomplishment is in detail. And the way I had created it is if you go back in time and when we were little tiny monkey guys and there was this pathway going to the river from the village, and you see, it doesn't make sense to have a village directly on a river back then because that's where all the predators go. So there has to be some spacing that is separating you from the water's edge itself. The achieving getting water, well, getting water was difficult back in those days because, A, there's predators on the way to it, and then there's predators when you get there. So if you're going to make the path on the way there, and you can say 90% of your ancestors have made it back from this particular path that we're supposed to take, let's call it Path A, and they 90% of them come back, but when you're walking down, you see this Path B that appeared out of nowhere. It wasn't there last week. Now, so you, what are you going to decide to do? Are you going to take Path B? It looks like it might be a little bit shorter. But you have to understand there's no emergency services. There's no help. There's no screams that you can put out that are going to cause people to come running if you walk into a tiger's den. So what is created from that is the path of known accomplishment. I think that over and over again through the millennia, people avoided doing something different that would equal walking into something that would be sheer death in a different situation. So we're using those wisdom teeth of physical and mental characteristics for today's world, and they're not working. So the endless level of excuses, I believe, come from the path of known accomplishment. This is also what causes people to maintain in the same financial situation if they're in a bad one or a good one, that it causes them to kind of hold a holding pattern, and then it gives them an opportunity to also blame other people for their lack of getting off their ass and doing something about it, because not working out doesn't get you in shape, and continuously going from dead-end job to dead-end job doesn't make you wealthy. So these are really super obvious things. And they go to the last one for me, which is the lack of forecastability versus the immediate gratification. So, you know what? You don't feel good about yourself right now, but a donut sounds really good, for example. And so you go for that immediate gratification, that sugar high. And so you do get a bit of an endorphin fix off of that. The workout might not feel really good, and I can relate to this. After the COVID event went on, I came in and started training, and everything hurt in a way that I just didn't understand. So I experienced a little bit like what probably new people that have never trained come in and experience as far as pain goes, but probably not to the same degree that they'd experience it. But I was able to forecast that if I don't do something about it, this is going to be my new standard of living. I'm going to have a hard time getting up. So immediate gratification out the window. Yeah, I'd like to go eat pizza and drink some Mountain Dews, but what I'm going to do is actually get to work and do what it takes to get my body strong enough again to where my feet aren't killing me every second of the day, when I'm getting out of bed, when I'm dreading waking up in the morning. All this stuff has to be repaired by a consistent path that is a clear and present goal. So inside of this, I think people break down their world by these four definitions, and I don't think they understand they do it, but there's four definitions of experiences that I use. One of them feels bad and is bad for you and is bad for society, all right? Those are pretty easy to avoid in most cases, and it really confuses us when people get involved in those situations and don't leave them. And that's a whole nother topic. I'm not interested in talking about it now, but for now, we're going to go on to the next one. The next one feels good, but is bad for you and is bad for society. This is also a low-level experience. The next one feels good and is good for you and is good for society. These are some of the best experiences. Then another one is feels bad, but is good for you and is good for society. These are also good experiences, and these are the ones that make us stretch and grow. So real quick, I want to talk about some of the people making these podcasts possible. Big O on 120th and Washington, Mark Spiewak, owner of that place. If you need to have new tires or your car taken care of for wintertime, this place is absolutely awesome, and I refer everybody to them for the last 20 years. This guy has never let me down on anything he's ever done. It is at 690 East 120th Avenue, North Glen, Colorado. The number over there is 303-457-1604. Another person that you're going to deal with on a totally different topic, Twisted Fibers Embroidery. That's Rick Dowdy. He's here in, he's out next to Westminster, Colorado. Wonderful company. Operates everything in a small order context or large order context. Rick Dowdy's number is 720-470-8111. And then finally, but not least, Fusebox Sambal One and Boa Systems here in Westminster, Colorado. You can look us up on fusebox.com. And hey, I want to give a shout out to Sambal Texas. They're located at 291 East Division Street, Arlington, Texas. That's sambaltexas.com. And we are a member of their affiliation group. And this guy is going out of his way to grow Sambal across the United States and host tournaments and fights in a way that I haven't seen before. So good luck to him, and I'm glad to be part of his team. Guys, look him up if you get an opportunity. Now, what separates the BOA program from other programs? We're kind of a break-off of extreme training. We're definitely extreme in what we do, but not extreme to the point where we're wanting to incur injury. So we're not talking about the highest level fight camp in the world that you can go to as a new person. That isn't good for you. That's bad. So what we are is a beginning to end fight camp that helps people to develop the skills that they need to be able to train, recover, and compete, whether it be in BOA Fit, BOA Sport, BOA Fight, or in the world of combat arts. But we wanted to avoid the religion of training, this style versus that style. I'm not really into it. I don't like the argument. I've been involved in the martial arts since 1973, and I'm sick of the topic. So what we wanted to create is an MMT, a mixed martial arts training system that covers everything. We're saying yes to weights because weights can be done right. Oftentimes people take weightlifting technology that is super outdated and created for ego versus performance, and then they're applying it to something that requires performance. We're saying yes to grappling, yes to striking. We're saying yes to the Sambal programs. We're saying yes on ultra running. I think ultra running can be an exciting cross training for people to do. It's an adventure cross training where you set clear and present goals and times on conquering mountains and your own personal hate of running, in my case. And yes, on competition. Life is competitive. I know that we live in this new world where nothing's supposed to be competitive, but life is competitive. If you've got kids, they're about to find out when they get out into the world. Competition is really important. And here at the BOA system, I really want to keep competition as part of the everyday life. Competition can be a positive thing. It doesn't have to be negative at all. BOA Fit, BOA Sport, and BOA Fight. Life of the BOA warrior is, and I use that term because it's a war really 99% of the time with yourself. It's not often, when I, for example, I teach some self-defense stuff, but I don't get in a lot of self-defense situations where I need to use martial arts unless I'm doing bodyguard work or bouncing or something of that nature. And, you know, I don't even hit. There's really never been a time I've punched anybody in those situations. It's all been grappling based. But the thing is that training like this has given options. And so the life of the BOA warrior is really about training methodology, competition in life, and accomplishment greater than the normal. Something more exciting, more adventurous than just waking up in the morning and getting in a moving coffin to go to your coffin job, to go back to your coffin house and wait for the actual coffin to catch you. This is an opportunity to create a community and a lifestyle that is exciting and you can look back on and really miss those times when your body's too busted up and incapable of moving, which is hopefully well into your 80s and 90s and not even in your 70s. So I wanted to point out today for the BOA program here at in Westminster, Colorado, Athlete of the Week, I wanted to give it out to Courtney Cameron. Her fight just got postponed, or they got canceled, actually, and I feel really bad for her. But she has gone out of the way to make significant changes in herself and in her life and is exactly what we're trying to create in a BOA fighter. For the amount of changes that she's done, very impressed. Courtney Cameron, thank you for your dedication. Now, we have fighters on deck. We have Sparta Combat League on September 19th. We have German Rios versus Kevin Delgado at 145 pounds. That's kickboxing. We have Manuel LaCruz versus, what is his name here? Shia Torres. That's 145 pounds boxing. And then we have Joseph Fisher versus Christopher De Lusa. About 155 pounds, that is kickboxing. And Courtney Cameron was supposed to be fighting Gemma Breslin, 135-pound kickboxing championship. That is not going to happen. Gemma pulled out of the fight. We didn't really hear much more about it. They said something about health reasons. We hope that she gets better and we can re-enter this call to combat here shortly. Again, this is Sparta League, September 19th. And this would be the BOA team going up into Wyoming, and we're going to do an amazing night, actually two nights, of combat sports from one system of BOA, BOA Fight, BOA Fit, and BOA Sport. So that's our show for this week. We're going to bring Tim Crisano onto the show. He's going to start co-hosting so we can have some more conversations and start stretching these podcasts out to an hour versus the basically 30 minutes that I like to do them at when I'm alone. In any case, Tim will be on next week with me. We're going to diversify the program just a little bit more. If you could do me a favor, spread the show around. Let people know that it exists and see if they like what we're doing and what we have going on here. If you guys are interested in coming into the BOA program, giving it a shot, reach out to me. Let me know. Text this number. You guys ready? 720-207-3860. Again, text this number. 720-207-3860. Just text the word BOA to me, and I'll reach out to you. We'll set a time for a private session, and we'll get you in to take a look at what the BOA program has to offer. Guys, appreciate your time this week. BOA Coach, we will see you next week, guys. Keep strong.